Here's a startling thought. What's worse than a pastor who abandons his family? A church that rewrites its own scriptures to say family abandonment is acceptable? The first is age-old hypocrisy, failing to live up to what you know is right. The second is something far more dangerous, losing the very concept of right and wrong. We're not just struggling to be good anymore, we've forgotten what good even means. This isn't melodrama. For the first time in human history, we've developed weapons capable of annihilating our species while simultaneously abandoning the moral framework that might prevent us from using them. Previous generations argued about how to interpret moral laws. We argue about whether moral laws exist at all. Ancient philosophers debated the path to virtue. We debate whether virtue is just a social construct. As poet W.H. Auden put it with chilling clarity, we must love one another or die. The nuclear age has made virtue not just admirable, but necessary for survival. Think about the absurdity of our world. We produce enough food to feed everyone, yet half the planet goes hungry. We invent labor-saving devices, then work longer hours than ever. Something is fundamentally broken, not in our technology or intelligence, but in our spirit. Our weakness isn't that we're more evil than our ancestors. We are actually better at soft virtues like tolerance and inclusivity, but we're catastrophically worse at hard virtues like self-discipline, sacrifice, and sexual restraint. More critically, we've lost what our ancestors took for granted, the belief that objective moral truth exists. We've replaced wisdom with values clarification, a telling phrase that reveals everything. Values are subjective preferences, like choosing chocolate over vanilla. Virtues are objective truths, like choosing courage over cowardice. Consider modern classrooms where teachers ask students to share their personal values. Unlike Socrates, who used questions to probe deeper truths, these discussions never examine whether some values might actually be better than others. The implicit lesson is devastating. Morality is just personal opinion. We've split reality into facts, objective, scientific, and values, subjective, emotional, leaving us as ghosts, haunting machines, alienated from a unified reality. When college students attempted creating a new ethic from scratch, they unwittingly reinvented what Plato described 2,400 years ago: justice, wisdom, courage, and moderation. These aren't cultural inventions, they're embedded in human nature. These cardinal virtues, from the Latin for hinge, are foundations upon which everything else depends. Justice means harmony within yourself and with others. Wisdom guides your reason to see clearly. Courage strengthens your will to do what's right despite fear. Moderation governs your desires so appetites don't enslave you. These virtues remain relevant because human nature hasn't changed. We still face fundamental challenges. How do I live well? How do I treat others fairly? How do I overcome fear? How do I handle pleasure without being controlled by it? Virtue isn't restrictive moralism, it's health of the soul, just as physical health means your body functions as designed. Natural virtues, while necessary, aren't sufficient. Without something beyond ourselves, our justice becomes cold legalism, our courage falters before death, and our wisdom reveals how little we know. This is where faith, hope, and love enter, not as human achievements, but as divine gifts. Faith isn't intellectual assent to doctrines or religious feelings. It's saying yes to God's proposal, like accepting a marriage offer. From this root grows genuine understanding, which is why St. Francis of Assisi, though unschooled, grasped truth more deeply than brilliant skeptical philosophers. Hope means absolute certainty in God's promises, not wishful thinking, but anchored confidence. Our deepest longings for perfect justice, unconditional love, and eternal life aren't meaningless feelings. They're spiritual radar detecting objective reality, like a divine signature written into human hearts. Love, agape, stands as the greatest virtue, utterly distinct from affection, romance, or friendship. This is radical self-giving love that created the universe and sent Christ to the cross. Unlike humanitarian compassion that feels sorry for the poor, agape identifies with them. Unlike tolerance that wishes enemies well from a distance, agape sacrifices for them. When you contemplate the crucifixion, Christ's wounds speak a profound "I love you" that transcends emotion. This is love as action, revolution, transformation. The Beatitudes are perhaps the most revolutionary 15 minutes of teaching in human history. Jesus delivered them as the new Moses from a mountain, but instead of liberalizing the old law, he intensified it. Don't just avoid murder, avoid hate. Don't just avoid adultery, avoid lust. These demands should make us cry, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Each beatitude presents an outrageous paradox. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those recognizing their spiritual bankruptcy. Blessed are those who mourn, who grieve over sin and suffering. Blessed are the meek, those relinquishing power rather than grasping it. Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, who ache for goodness like starving people ache for food. The Beatitudes shock us because appearance and reality are radically different. Pride, which Aristotle called a virtue, becomes the deadliest vice, the original sin of both Satan and humanity. Its antidote is poverty of spirit, not weakness, but strength through emptiness. Just as bowls are useful because of their emptiness, our spiritual power comes through receptivity to God. With empty hands, God fills us. With full hands, he finds no place. Avarice, the immoderate desire for possessions, tempts us because money promises security and self-sufficiency, imitating divine attributes. Our capitalist society fuels this through competition and advertising. Yet avarice misunderstands happiness, assuming fulfillment comes from having rather than being. True fulfillment comes from what's greater than ourselves. Mercy brings fourfold blessing. God rewards it in this life and the next. Even worldly people respond well to it. Our habit of mercy makes us capable of receiving God's mercy, and it's the only practical solution to sin, war, and hatred. Only fools demand justice. Mercy is our only hope from God, and others' only hope from us. True peace comes only from God. Christ made peace not through power, but by dying. He stopped Peter's sword, healed the enemy's ear, then drained away war by becoming the universal victim. The lamb wins against the beast by losing, triumphing through death. Peacemakers are called children of God because they share their Father's nature and work. The narrow way to peace is becoming a child of God in Christ. Soul winning is the ultimate peacemaking, spreading the good infection of Christ through love. Early Christians attacked slavery's root in the human heart, knowing that transformed hearts transform societies. Moral traditionalists are hopeful rebels, where orthodoxy has become the only possible rebellion. Virtue wins because we cannot change human nature. What God designed cannot be undesigned. The modern era opposes virtue to happiness, reversing philosophy's oldest equation. When the world sees that heroic virtue is the most fascinating life possible, as it did 2,000 years ago, it will be won again. The stakes are survival now and happiness eternally. Without virtue, civilization dies. Without religion, virtue dies. Therefore, without religion, civilization dies. History proves civilizations thrive in proportion to their virtue and decay when virtue decays. Moses commands simply, choose life, God's life, of grace, virtue for our souls, and peace for our civilization. This isn't mysterious or distant, but very near you, in your mouth and in your heart. We have 15 footholds on the slippery slope, 4 cardinal virtues, 3 theological virtues, and 8 beatitudes. The world will be won when the best are full of passionate conviction. We must reignite the dynamite of God, love, and heaven to save our world.